Greetings again. Just a few announcements. Thank you, firstly, for watching on this YouTube channel. And for those of you who are watching, and I'm sure you have gotten this link out of the WhatsApp group, so please share with those who don't necessarily have this link, and they may not be on the church's WhatsApp group. These recordings also will be sent on the WhatsApp group, so I trust that you will be blessed. Then, thirdly, may I continue to remind you to be faithful to the Lord in your giving, and may I ask that even in your giving, that you do this electronically. The details have been sent via WhatsApp, and so may I ask that you be obedient to the Lord, and at the same time give from a generous heart or from a heart of thankfulness. Then number four, if you have special requests, please send it via WhatsApp so that we are able to share it with others in the church. We will be praying for your special needs, and also for birthdays and anniversaries, if we can also send it via WhatsApp so we can share with you even during these joyous times. So God bless you, and as we journey together as a church during this time apart, may we continue to be faithful to the Lord. Let's read the scriptures. We've taken as a church the challenge to read through the Gospel of John, right? 21 chapters, one chapter every day during this 21-day lockdown period. And God bless you. May you experience God's grace in your life and in your home during this time. Blessings in Jesus' name. Greetings in Jesus' name for those of you that are joining us from Grace Community Church, and those that may not be part of the church but are yet joining us, a warm welcome to you. These are indeed different times, difficult times, and whilst we may find ourselves under lockdown, we praise God that we can join together in worship this morning. And may I ask that wherever you are at in your living rooms or around your computers or televisions, to please join us as we join in worshiping this great God and King who is worthy of our worship. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let's sing together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege of joining with your children. And even though we may be in different places, but we are able to come together in worshiping you during this time. We thank you for your grace in our lives. And Lord, whilst we may be in the midst of a pandemic, we thank you, Lord, that your hand has been over your children. And so we bring before you those that have been affected by this virus. We pray that your hand will reach out to them, for those in our country and those all around the world, Lord. We pray that your hand will reach out to them. We think of those that have lost loved ones, and we ask, Lord, that they would know comfort and peace, but most of all, hope, Lord, in the midst of this storm. We thank you that as we, Lord, look to you, we look to the sovereign God, the God who's in control over all things, over every situation, over every circumstance, over every crisis. And we thank you that you are not aloof. You're not, Lord, just the God who's up there and out there, but you're the God who's down here with us in the midst of the struggle. And so, Lord, as we journey together as your people in acknowledging your sovereignty, in acknowledging your greatness, and acknowledging, Lord, your goodness through songs that will be sung, Lord, we ask that you will be glorified, and at the same time that each of us, Lord, will be blessed as we look to you, and that this mountain, Lord, that is before us will seem so small in comparison to how big our God is. And so guide us, Lord, through this time of worship, and we ask that as, Lord, we dedicate this time to you, Lord, indeed, you will be glorified. You'll be honored. Your name will be lifted up above all other names. We give you worship and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Listen to the word of God as I read from Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 25. And Isaiah writes, "To whom will you compare me?" And this is the Lord speaking through the prophet. "Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." May we find encouragement in the word of the Lord as we journey together in this worship service. May we hope in him, and may we proceed from strength to strength. Let's join together and focusing on him who sent his only Son into the world. And because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, we can know victory, we can know hope in every storm, in every crisis. Jesus Messiah. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. praise God that we serve a God who is not removed from our struggles. And the cross is testimony of that fact, that our God is not removed from our struggles. But we praise God for the resurrection, and we are able to move from the vantage point of the resurrection, and we can know God's greatness. Yes, we can know God's goodness, because we have also resurrection life at work within us, because we serve a God who's good, who's graciously given us all things in Christ. And the resurrected life is part of that goodness that's demonstrated, and the grace of God that's demonstrated our way. Favor surrounds us all the days of our lives. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, the name of Jesus. We lift up our eyes above the troubles in our land. Together we stand. And the song goes on to remind us that our God is the great God. He's the good God. And so let's join in singing together as we celebrate who this Jesus is, and at the same time a reminder that we are called to look to Him just before the word can be preached. Lift up our eyes above the troubles in our land, and together we stand to declare You as King. In time like these, we choose to praise You. To say how much we love You, and where else can we turn to? Only You have the words of eternal life. We thank You for Your great and grand love for us, that in the midst of this crisis and in the midst of every crisis, thank You that we have Your Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ for every crisis. Thank You, Jesus, for the hope that You give us, for the hope that's birthed within us through Your Spirit who lives in us. We thank You for eternal life. We thank You for the processes, Lord, of this biological life, that as we journey both physically and spiritually, Lord, we thank You that You are present with us, forming us, shaping us, conforming us into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we look beyond the crisis. We look to You. We look to You who is the hope, Lord, for every individual here on this earth. And Lord, right now we pray that, Lord, the unsaved will be saved, that backsliders will be restored, and believers will be spurred on in our faith. Bless, Lord, now your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Good morning. I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know, like with me, this might be your first time ever being in lockdown. In all my life, I've never been in lockdown like we are now. And I know that that is the case for most of you, if not all of you. May the Lord keep you and strengthen you during this time. And may what you do be upbuilding to yourself and your family, those who, whom you are locked down with. Just enrich each other's life as we go through this difficult time. Time of sacrifice, but please also take it as something positive. I believe that God is going to do something special for our nation and even for the world. Let's pray together. Before I pray, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. The last time I spoke to you from Joshua chapter 6. I have given Jericho into your hands. And today I want to speak to you from Joshua chapter 7. And it is actually connected to that story that I will have to repeat some of that story in order to make sense with the message that the Lord has given me for today. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne and we thank you that you are for us, that you are with us. And we pray, dear Father, that this time in lockdown would be special for many of us. A time when we draw closer to you, a time when we spend time with your word and pray, a time when we grow deeper in the things of the Lord, a time when we are able to heal things for our family and in our family. I pray, dear God, that you will come and anoint me with your Holy Spirit, that we may speak your word according to your power and according to your direction, and that you will speak your word directly to our hearts. In Jesus' name, with much thanksgiving. Amen. So you have turned to Joshua chapter 7. As an introduction, I must say to you that Israel has a double relationship as a nation. As a nation, they have a first relationship with God, and as a nation, their next relationship is with themselves. But let me explain to you what both of these relationships meant. Their relationship, their first relationship with God, is a relationship that is based on a covenant. The people of Israel had a covenant with God. And they lived in that relationship along the lines of that covenant. They were God's people. In fact, that's where we have the saying throughout the Bible, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. This nation was God's nation. This nation had God, Yahweh, as their only God. They were not allowed to have another God. In fact, the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments gave the priority rule for this relationship between Israel and God. I am Yahweh, it says, who have taken you out of the land of Egypt and have brought you to myself. You are to have no other gods before you. No other gods before you. And so that first relationship was built on this covenantal relationship with God. But the second relationship is the relationship with themselves. What do I mean by that? Israel as a nation had a single ancestor. And that single ancestry was found from Abraham, the son of Abraham, Isaac, the son of Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob was the father of the nation Israel, because Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel, so that the 12 sons that came from Jacob were the 12 tribes of Israel. Excuse me. So, therefore, the Israelites consisted of 12 tribes that were actually named after 12 brothers in the same family. And those 12 tribes proliferated and became many people. But the fact of the matter is that Israel as a nation was actually one family. So, Israel was a nation like a family. And this thing of corporate identity and corporate relations or responsibility, that is what our topic title is for today's sermon. Corporate identity, corporate responsibility. This is what it means that these people were a single nation that belonged to God. That these people were a single nation that belonged to one family. They were one family all together. And because of this kind of dynamic, they had this understanding that we have been reminded of in the story of the three musketeers that was written by Alexander Dumas. And many years ago, I watched the movie, The Three Musketeers. And they believed, or they said, one for all and all for one. That is the relationship that Israel had with themselves. So let's now begin by unpacking the sermon that I am wanting to share with you today. Let's look at the context. Israel had just conquered Jericho. They conquered Jericho by faith. God had to remind them that they were people to live by faith. And so their faith action in the conquering of Jericho was an action that actually had three main legs to it. The leg of motivation. God said, I have given Jericho into your hand. And just simply because God said it, the God with whom they have covenant, they had to believe. All they had to do was believe. God said, I have given Jericho into your hand. I will, or not, I might, but I have given Jericho into your hand. So the motivation was, or of faith, was that God said it. Just believe it. Then there was a second leg to this faith, the method of faith. There's the motivation of faith, there's the method of faith. And in the method of faith, God said to Israel exactly how they must go about to conquer Jericho. They didn't go with weaponry. They didn't go with extra special guided missiles and stuff like that. No, they had no implements or no science of warfare. They had to do simply what God said they must do. And so the method of faith is to believe, sorry, not only to believe, but to obey. What did God say Israel must do? God said to Israel, march around the city. And Israel marched around the city. God said to Israel, have seven priests with seven trumpets blow their horns, their trumpets, as they circled the city. And that's what the priests did. They blew their trumpets. Then there were other priests who had to carry the Ark of the Covenant. They had to carry the Ark of the Covenant to circle around the city. That's what they had to do. The people had to march around the city. They marched. The people had to blow their horns. They blew their horns. The people had to carry the Ark. They carried their Ark. But there was a time when the people had to shout, but they had to be silent in the meantime. And so the method of faith was to follow the method that God gives them. All they had to do was to obey. The motivation, just believe. The method is just obey. And then the third leg of faith was the miracle of faith. By the shout of the people, according to God's command, by the blowing of the trumpet, by the marching around the city, once every day for 6 days, and in the seventh day, seven times, marching around the city and blowing their horns until there came a special blow of the trumpet. And the people knew that they had to shout, and Joshua told them to shout. And when the people shouted, the wall collapsed. And the Bible said the miracle was that wall collapsed at the shout. That wall was flattened and the people could go straight into the city and destroy everything according to the word of God. Now I said to you, destroy everything according to the word of God. Everything in the city of Jericho was to be devoted to the Lord. That is why it had to be destroyed. But the things that could not be destroyed, like the silver, the gold, the bronze, and the iron, they would go into the treasury of the Lord. That too were devoted things. And so, therefore, the devoted things were to be dealt with according to the command of the Lord. All they had to do was believe, obey, and see what the Lord can do. And this is where we come to in our story that I will preach to you today. And that is found in Joshua chapter 7. But please, let's back up a little bit to Joshua chapter 6. I want to read only two verses from chapter 6. Let's read together. Verse 18 of chapter 6. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. Verse 21 of chapter 6. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Now we come to chapter 7. That's just an introduction for chapter 7. Let's read from verse 1. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, son of Zerah, the son of the tribe of Judah, took some of them, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. So about 3,000 men went up, and they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord, and remained there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver them into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Oh Lord, what can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them among their own possessions. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with them with you anymore unless you destroy whatever is devoted to be destroyed. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward, clan by clan. And the clan that the Lord takes shall come forward, family by family. And the family that the Lord takes shall come forward, man by man. He who is caught with a devoted thing shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahites. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua and his family had his family come forward, man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him praise. Tell me, what have you done? Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and I took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent and with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all the Israelites, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, the tents, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him, and after they stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped a large pile of rocks that remain to this day. Then the Lord turned from his anger. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The first thing I need to clear from this text is this idea called the devoted things. The idea permeates our text. The idea appears six times and is repeated six times in our reading. The Hebrew term for this word devoted denotes the irrevocable giving over of persons or things to the Lord, often by destroying them. And we can see there in 7 verse 12, the Bible says, that is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and ran because they have been made liable to destruction. Now listen to this. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy among you what is devoted to destruction. So the things devoted were things devoted to destruction. Joshua 6 and verse 18, where we read, they are told to keep away from the devoted things. Why must they keep away from the devoted things? Because the devoted things belong to the Lord. They are told, do not take anything. Do not take any of them. Because if you do, you will bring destruction upon yourselves. You will make the nation liable for destruction. Then in Joshua chapter 26, verse 21, the Bible tells us that the whole city of Jericho was devoted to the Lord. And they destroyed everything, every living thing in it. And the silver, and the gold, and the bronze, and the iron, all of those were to go into the treasury of the Lord. In chapter 7 and verse 11, we are told there that taking the devoted things is a sin. We are told there that taking the devoted things is a violation of the covenant of God. We are told there that taking the devoted things is stealing from God. In chapter 7 and verse 13, the devoted things cannot remain among your own possession. In other words, the devoted things must not be there where your possessions are. This is what happened with Achan. And so the devoted things are things that belong to the Lord. And even if they are destroyed, they are things that belong to the Lord. I have entitled my sermon, Corporate Identity and Corporate Responsibility. And that's what I want to talk to you about next. The Bible often speaks about corporate identity, or in terms of corporate identity. To give you one example, We are all identified with Adam. All humans are identified with Adam. We are fashioned after Adam. Adam sinned, that is why we sin. Adam died, that is why we will die. We are made in the form of Adam. We are identified with the first man, Adam. All of us are like Adam. That is an example of corporate identity. There's another example I want to give you because I believe it is important for us to know. And that is that all believers are corporately identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. The benefits of Christ accrue to us, those who are in Christ. Christ took our sins upon him, and we are taking upon ourselves the righteousness of him. You see, our identity is in Christ. Our identity is fashioned in such a way that we are a new creation, a creation in Christ. Beloved, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You see, the first Adam was old humanity, is old humanity. But the last Adam, Jesus, is the head of a new humanity. And so, those of us who are in Christ are part of a new humanity, and therefore we are corporately identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our story today also demonstrates corporate identity. We see how the story begins there in 7 verse 1. Achan is the son of Carmi. Carmi is the son of Zimri. Zimri is the son of Zerah. And Zerah belongs to the tribe of Judah. And so that was an indication that this single man, this individual man, was part of the nation. He was identified as part of the nation. He is identified with the nation. And so Achan is a representative of Israel. Achan took the devoted things. Only Achan took the devoted things. But God says there in 7 verse 1, the Israelites acted unfaithfully. It was Achan who acted unfaithfully. But God says Israel acted unfaithfully. Now God is identifying Achan with Israel. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, so says 7 verse 1. Again, the Bible says there in 7 verse 11 to Joshua, God said, Joshua, stand up. Israel has sinned. They, Israel, have violated my covenant. They, Israel, have taken some of the devoted things. They, Israel, have stolen. They, Israel, have lied. They, Israel, have put these things among their own possessions. So what Achan did as an individual was counted to Israel. This is corporate identity. Achan's act was taken as Israel's act. Let's come to corporate responsibility, and then I will wind up. All Israel was impacted by one man's action. One man's disobedience was made the guilt of the whole nation. Achan was warned, like all the other soldiers were warned when they go into Jericho. Do not touch the devoted things. Destroy everything. But Achan did not heed that warning, and Achan took this beautiful garment. He must have been a man of fashion, liking nice clothing. And he took the silver and the gold, and he went and he buried them in his tent. The Bible says that the whole nation was blamed to have acted unfaithfully, and the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. Israel was blamed. Israel took the blame. Israel bore the brunt. Israel failed against Ai. Israel had soldiers lost in that confrontation. Israel went through the difficulty because of one man. Israel was held corporately responsible. That is why what happens later on involves the whole nation, because what man did, one man did, involved the whole nation. The whole nation came forward on that following day after they consecrated themselves. And the whole nation had to present themselves tribe by tribe before the Lord. And the Lord took the tribe of Judah. They all had to come forward at different times. The tribe Judah was taken by the Lord. And from the tribe of Judah, they had to appear clan by clan. And they came forward clan by clan. And the Lord took the clan of Zimri, or of Zerah, sorry. And the clan of Zerah was taken, and they came forward family by family. And the family of Zimri was taken. And when the family of Zimri was taken, they had to come forward man by man. And man by man that came forward, obviously Achan was taken. There was no hiding for Achan anymore. He thought he could hide those beautiful things, those expensive things, those costly things, those valuable things. But Achan was nothing but a materialistic man who had no concern for the nation. He was interested only in himself. And Achan confessed to the nation and to God. And the nation was called upon to exact God's judgment on Achan. And the nation stoned Achan, and stoned his family, and stoned all those things that belonged to him. And the nation burnt everything, but Achan's body was heaped upon with rocks and stones, so that it still stood at the time when the book of Joshua was written. That really is the end of my explanation of the text. But I want to spend a few more minutes with the application. People of God at Grace Community Church, we are one. We are one in the Spirit, and we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our individual actions matter, because individual actions can bring either honor to the people of God or disgrace to the people of God. What you do, do for the sake of the church. What you do, Christian, do for the sake of the people of God. what you do, Christian, do for the sake of those that are in Christ. What you do, do for the body of Christ. For the body, because they are Christ's body. And ultimately, what we do, we must do as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But a second application comes in the light of COVID-19 and our national lockdown. People, individual, do what you do for the sake of the nation. This lockdown is meant for us to be locked in, to stay at home, so that we cannot be infecting others or be infected by others. We must do this honestly and truthfully for the sake of the people of our land, of our nation. Do what you do, Christian, for South Africa. Do what you do, poor people, for the sake of our people. Do what you do for our nation. Do not be like Achan. Achan, who thinks selfishly. Your individual actions can make our nation liable for destruction. Think about others. Think about our nation. Oh, people of God, let us be truthful. Let us be honest at this time. I speak especially to some of our believers, our churches, where pastors are taking the devoted things, the money that belongs to the Lord, and enriching themselves. We cannot stand against our enemies for as long as that is our attitude. Let the devoted things belong to the Lord. Why are we interested in these outward material things? God will provide. God has been good. And that's what we must do. We must live by faith. And so, as I come to the end, I am saying to you, may the Lord give you the fortitude of mind and of heart that will be obedient to a simple method that needs to be expressed by your faith. If God says, be silent, be silent. If God says, shout, then shout. And the wall will come down. And this is what I believe we must do. We have been told, stay in your houses. Be separate. Actually, this is a time when we can consecrate ourselves before the Lord. We can draw closer to the Lord. 21 days have been given to us so that we may again start reading the Word, start praying together as families. What about those of you who have been struggling in your marriages and with your relationship with one another? Stay home so that you can fall again in love with your wife and with your husband and with your children. Let's not be selfish. Let this time be a time of thinking about others. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we honor you for who you are. We honor you for speaking into our hearts. We have learned about corporate identity. We have learned about corporate responsibility. And dear God, we want to take to heart that which we have learned today. In the name of Jesus, be glorified through us. Help us that we would not bring dishonor and shame to the people of God, but help us to bring honor and glory to you, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will be with our people. O God, protect them from this virus. Keep them strong, Lord. Give them healing, Lord. Whatever it is they need, give them according to their needs. You know it all. And Lord, you can do it all. Oh, sovereign Lord, do it for us, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for watching our first YouTube sermon, Joshua chapter 7. Please remember to like and subscribe to our channel, and also go onto your social media platforms like Instagram and Facebook and look for Grace CC Fourways and like our pages. Thank you and God bless.